The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
And we always love it when experts join us in the studio. And once again, making his first appearance now for about a month, I guess, is Joel Gratz, a CPA and managing partner with Christensen and Associates.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. How are you?
Great. Good to see you, Joel. I see you've got that summer tan going, too.
Yeah, you know, you try to wear a white shirt so it looks really nice, you know. But I had some time at the lake here this over the 4th, and so blessed there at the cabin. So yeah, the sun does shine every now and
probably
then.
Probably getting it a little different to the rays than when you were out in the farm stacking bales on the
It is different, isn't it? Yeah, it is different. You get the reflection off the water and everything. So yeah, the tan's a little bit nicer, more even, I guess. So I do have tan lines, by the way. So it's like I'm out there completely, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and Sarah, you're sporting quite a tan yourself. And I know, you know, you're living out in the country, and I'm sure you spend plenty of time outside.
Absolutely, Bill. Yep, thanks for having me today. Yes, we have a lot of summer baseball. I have three boys, so at the baseball field in Stearns County quite often throughout the summer.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to seeing your boys grow up. I think they're all going to be pretty athletic, it looks like, in a variety of sports. So
yes,
it'll be fun to see them for years to come.
Are you guys like best friends or something? Or you guys act like you go to the picnics together? And
we actually got a chance to touch base quite a bit at the state tournament this year.
We did.
That's awesome.
I actually found out, believe it or not, how uninformed I am, that basically they're my neighbor.
Yes.
It's
a small world.
Yeah, they live just north of me, and you moved in there, a couple years ago already, isn't it?
Oh, quite a few, yep.
Is it that?
17 years ago.
They're right on the Stearns-Candio High County line.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard to see her because her estate's so big. You know, her 200 or 300 acres she has with that castle in the middle, I guess.
There is a place like that, but I don't think that's not where Sarah and Aaron are living right now. But not too far from us, there is a castle, basically.
So. I have heard that, yes.
But anyway, I suppose we should get to the topic at hand eventually. Maybe people would rather just listen to us
banter,
as they used to say, kibitz.
Yeah.
I think it's that the Jewish term or something. I'm not even sure what it is.
That's out of my league.
German or I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, no, Sarah DeRue, my partner, has been with us for 14 years, and she takes on a really big deal for us in our firm, which is our quality control of our attestation services, and I used to be better at that than I am, but I'm probably more focused on tax as the world gets complicated, and Sarah, who doesn't do it alone, but Sarah is in charge of that for our firm, in a public accounting firm. That's one of the core services. Without this service, we're probably really not really a public accounting firm. That's just, once you say, Sarah, that's kind of how it works. So that's my intro. I promised Bill I would not run the table on conversation today, so I'll do my best. So, Sarah, knock yourself out on what we're going to try to talk about today.
Yeah. So thanks again, you guys. As Joel mentioned, I oversee our attestation service and quality control at the firm. There's a lot that goes into that. Attestation can mean a lot of things. Many people understand it as an audit of your financial statement. It could be reviews, compilations, a number of different services. And then all the quality standards that we have to comply with, I guess, that go along with that. We'll kind of touch on that a little bit too, and some of the differences and how we service our clients. So.
And there's different levels of service, right, when we reference attestation, Sarah? Could you go into that maybe for our listeners who maybe don't know?
So an audit of your financial statements is the highest level. That's where we provide assurance that your financial statements are not materially misstated. So there's a lot of procedures and policies that we look at and go through as part of an audit. But typically those are required by your bankers, maybe certain line of credit requirements or whatnot that require an audit, or many organizations, especially nonprofits, we see they're required by their bylaws to have an audit. So, but that is the highest level of assurance. Then that goes down to a review of your financials, which is limited assurance, or a compiled financial statement, which basically we're taking your financial statement, doing some procedures on that and issuing a report on that. So
are you cross-referencing then with other, you know, like with banks and things like that to determine if these numbers are accurate?
Absolutely. Yep. That's truly what we're engaged to do as, you know, the assurance that we're providing on the financial statements so that bankers can be comfortable that the numbers are accurate, you know, that they're using to for their due diligence and compliance requirements. We usually go through, there's some working capital and maybe covenant requirements as part of that loan agreement that, you know, we make sure that they're our clients are in compliance with that as well through those procedures.
Yeah. So. And yeah, Joel mentioned different levels, but are there different as far as clients? I mean, I'm sure, is it of all kinds or is there a primary, I guess, source that, you know, as far as where your, most of your clients come from?
Well, as we know, we're very ag based. We have a lot of clients in the agriculture industry, a lot of manufacturing clients, nonprofit organizations, retail, a number of different industries that we serve. So it can be, you know, it's definitely a service that's required amongst all industries. Mm-hmm. And typically the level of service that maybe a bank or your bylaws will require is maybe gauged on the size of your organization as well. But
another group that asks for an audit sometimes will be your investor group. Wouldn't you say, like, where there's investors who are silent, not present, but have a material stake in what's happening, they will hire us also, right, to make sure the numbers that they get from management are, in fact, you know, accurate. And an audit gives the most assurance, like you said, an actual opinion, whereas a review and a compilation is more, you know, based upon the limited procedures we did, we do not see anything different or incorrect. And that was a tax guy trying to explain at a station service description.
You
did. Are you okay?
You rocked it,
John. All right. So that's kind of the deal. And sometimes it's seen as compliance, you know, like, oh, it's just another thing we have to do. But we, you know, in an audit, 200-300 hours of time it takes to do an audit, would you say? It could be more, it could be less, but that's a lot of time. Like, yes. in our firm, you know, that's one of the biggest projects and the largest teams, wouldn't you say?
Yep, by far. And, you know, people think of audit, and I feel like it's kind of has this negative connotation with it. They think they're fearful of it and think that it's kind of a very cumbersome process. And it definitely is, as Joel mentioned, the number of hours that's involved. But truly through that too, we look at internal controls of an organization. We look at some policies and procedures and really look at areas that they can improve on those too. So it's definitely meant to be a compliance, and we're reporting on financial statements of the companies, but we do give recommendations on internal control or other areas of improvement as well. So it can be a learning process for organizations.
I suppose the reason they get apprehensive is the word audit usually is associated with the IRS.
Right. Yeah. And that's maybe not as fun of a process, right?
It's but generally,
you know,
not.
If you were to be audited, this, I would think having something like this is, you know, would really be helpful. I mean, it could save a lot of time and perhaps effort, you know, down the road too. But how often does an average firm get audited or request an audit? How good or how long are they good for, basically?
So for audits of organizations, typically it's annually that they'd be required to have that. Sometimes, you know, maybe a monthly or quarterly compiled financial statement would be required by your bank. But I would say on a typical basis, it would be annual.
Okay. And I suppose with the world of computers now, that's a whole different ballgame too, as far as those numbers are stored. And you know, they used to maybe be in a ledger or something, you know, it was handwritten. So.
I might date myself, but when I started in public accounting, we were paper-based. Yeah. So our audit process was pulling big binders and suitcases into our clients with big paper binders. Now that's definitely not the case. Everything is automated. We typically get those work papers electronically and it's pretty efficient.
And I'm older than Sarah, so when I went, I had to bring beans and rocks and all those things where you in a stone tablet. That's what we did when I was out.
What is it, the albicus, or what is that?
I was trying to think of it.
Yeah, I never did learn how to use one of those.
But that really goes
back, right, many centuries.
Yep,
to Chinese,
that'd be way
I think,
before my time. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
No, the value too is not just the opinion we give, but you know, a lot of the management team asks, you know, like, well, what do you see, you know, other folks are doing? We obviously we can't tell them exactly, but we can talk about trends and working capital and various ratios. Like, well, how are we stacking up? And so we see a lot of things. And I, wouldn't you say, Sarah, a lot of our clients ask those questions and what can we do better? Where are we lacking? Where is our weakness? And that's where some of that information that when we're auditing can be utilized in multiple ways. And I had Dustin Cutterbaugh, a partner of ours, talking about data analytics, where a lot of that same data that we're kind of churning and burning on the audit can be used to then spit out some different trends, some different analysis. So that world is, you know, the artificial intelligence, the AI, the robotic auditing, and now I'm really getting out into an area where I'm not very good at, but that's what I've heard Sarah and Dustin talk about a lot. I don't know if you want to talk about some of those things too. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, honestly, my favorite part of, and it's not just an audit, it can be any attest, you know, a compilation or a review as well. My favorite part is meeting with the board and the management team and going through the not only the results of the financial statements and maybe some key ratios and benchmarks that, you know, again, back to Joel's comment, that we want to benchmark and analyze a little bit further and talk about with the management team. But also those areas of improvement that they can operationally be stronger. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of that analysis and kind of going beyond the audit and some of the consulting areas of opportunity come into play as well.
You mentioned those trends too, Joel. Do things change too? I mean, is it that maybe it was a time you wanted to have X amount of dollars basically, you know, on hand, if you will, and I suppose depending on the nature of the business too, as to how much, you know, working capital you need. And it seems like, as we know with farming, there's so much more money involved just you know, in planting a crop, for example, than there used to be, or buying any equipment. I mean, it's light years different.
Right, and every trend is unique to a client, so they have their own trend, and of course, then there might be a national trend or an industry trend that they get compared to or benchmarked against. So you're right, there's multiple trends and things change pretty often, but you know what, if you look at what would you say is a long-term trend for us? Probably a five-year window where you can take out some of the highs and lows, you can still kind of see where they should be, in quotes. So the trend is where we do a lot of our analysis, right? I mean, that's where we kind of identify things. What we've seen in the recent past is how they're collecting their accounts receivable faster than ever. You know, in the old days, it was, 45 days? And every industry is obviously different,
right?
You know. But we're seeing people collect cash and AR faster than ever, which helps their working capital. So, I mean, at least that's what I've seen, I guess, when we're auditing through, like, back to the stone tablets and where we are today.
Yeah.
You know, and the old snail mail, now everybody's wiring their money in. So this, mm-hmm. you know, the time frame, it gets really tight on that, which means they're paying their bills faster. So the world is just turning faster. You know, the trend for that, I think, is pretty much all industries, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of opportunity, too, with more predictive analysis. So being able to anticipate, you know, especially with future maybe sales contracts or whatever, and being able to map those into their process so that they can be much more efficient and just capture a lot mm-hmm. of additional revenue stream as well. It's constantly changing, and we're just trying to stay ahead of the trends and what our clients are asking for and needing.
But my feeling is it's probably more valuable than ever, you know, to really invest in this.
Mm-hmm. I just took a CPE class that talked about COVID and fraud and mm-hmm. how that's on the upswing again, where everybody was not boots on the ground and that opportunity is becoming greater. And if they're hurt financially, when there's a reason, you know, if I'm not getting paid as much as I used to, I need cash to pay the bills, then people start thinking about ways to steal, right, and be fraudulent. So the article that I had read is that it's on the rise, you know, all these activities. So back to the value, and should people having more, even more independent checks? Probably. Mm-hmm. Now, out in West Central Minnesota, where Mr. and Mrs. Nice always exist, maybe that isn't so bad. But you can't take advantage of that either. Yeah. I mean, you can't sleep at the wheel either. But
And their uncle and aunt, Mr. and Mrs. Naive,
yeah,
I think,
no,
too. I think that's the problem, you know.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah. Well, And I don't know, what percent of people do you think actually ever get caught? You know, that are doing, you know, embezzling and maybe eventually it catches up, but it seems like a lot of them seem to kind of skate by for an awful long time. Mm-hmm. So
in all my years, I've only had one opportunity where we felt or thought legitimately there was something fishy going on. Mm-hmm. Have you had any experiences in your auditing?
I've had one.
Yeah. So it's back to Sarah's comment. It's rare. Mm-hmm. One, it is detectable. Until, like you said, back to the getting caught. We are in West Central Minnesota, so I think by nature there might be less intent to do that. Hopefully. That doesn't necessarily mean that's true either. That's naive country boy Joel thinking we're all perfect out here in rural Minnesota. But
that's a good point, because that made me think about kind of our risk-based approach too. So we really hone in on where might be the areas of opportunity and the areas of risk. And that's where we kind of design more procedures and analysis around.
Oftentimes you hear about things like that with the nonprofits, and you know, that seems like it almost happens more often. People might have other issues, you know, and they look at this, well, you know, they're not going to miss this, or maybe I'll pay it back or whatever it might be.
Right. And oftentimes they just don't have the ability to have the enough segregation of duties with the smaller organization size that they are. So that's kind of where you see more gaps in those organizations. But
yeah,
literally one of the questions on our planning is, if there was to be a fraud, back to the risk areas, where could it be? And you have to kind of mentally go through the gymnastics of where could it be, like this area is weak in internal controls or review. That's what we do. I mean, that's why an audit takes 200-400 hours to get done. So when you get an opinion, by golly, you know, it's pretty solid. Not that there hasn't been audits that were failed, not with our firm, but I should make sure I say this while kicking under the table and I said that. But, you know, our industry has issues where we've had
some pretty big
Enrons, the world that's becoming a distant past. Maybe some of our interns don't even know what that is anymore, but that was a big deal that changed our industry, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you born during Enron?
I was.
Are you really?
I mean,
that's how old I am. Yeah. I was working here at that time already, so.
Talk about a big shift in just what we needed to do. That was a big change, most definitely.
Well, and you know, then taking 200-300 hours is really not bad. I mean, it's taken 5 years, and we still haven't heard about President Trump's audit yet. He's been being audited, you know,
every year,
continuously.
Right, that's a whole nother story.
Well, I guess it's not necessarily public knowledge. So
that's what they say, right? Yeah. That's what they say. Yeah. And one interesting thing I would like to add, too, is that being we provide audit services, we, too, as a firm, get audited every 3 years, and we call it a peer review. Mm-hmm. And we just went through our peer review, and Sarah, again, with her team, got us through with flying colors. And it's always a nervous time at a CPA firm when you get audited by another audit firm. And we came through great, and that's, a test to Sarah and her team on the work that they do. And ironically, Sarah and Bradley, my partner, actually do peer review services, or they go out and audit other firms. And that, in my industry, is a very high level. Not many people do it, because you have to be really good. You have to be really good at knowing what to look for in another firm and to review their controls. And right now I'm fluffing Sarah big time. I can see she's getting uncomfortable in her chair. But we do that service, and not many folks know that. And we're really proud of that. And we've got that much horsepower in our team. We can go audit somebody else. And I think that's really special. And I know I'm kind of tooting our own horn, because Sarah wouldn't toot it. So I wanted to do it for her. But, and also, to continue tooting Sarah's horn, you were just elected to the Minnesota Society Board of Directors. Is that true? Which is also rare for someone in rural Minnesota to be on that board. And you were also on the task force, or the peer review group, where you approve audits for firms. And maybe I should have you explain it. I'm not doing a very good job. But.
Yep. Nope. Also on the peer review committee of the Minnesota Society. So we oversee all the peer reviews, both in Minnesota and North Dakota. We've taken on North Dakota as well. So it's a really great learning experience, and talk to the with our peer review, again, just kudos to the team, and the quality that all of us abide by, I think, is kind of a true testament to the expertise that we have in our team. We do definitely take, you know, a lot of pride in the work that we do, and it takes a lot of time and effort to comply with the standards. So, so we're proud of that. But
yeah, but if you're doing a good job like that, you can actually go to sleep at night, right? The numbers aren't haunting you all night long. So,
and it's exciting. It's a little nerve-wracking, but kind of exciting too to be on the other side of an audit. And you know, when we're typically the auditors looking at that, and the peer review services that we do, as Joel mentioned, as a firm, Bradley and I, that too is pretty rare. There's not a lot of peer reviewers in, for sure in Minnesota and even nationwide. And I feel like 50% of them will probably retire in the next 3 to 5 years. So definitely is more opportunity for us, but a great learning experience that we can bring back to the firm too.
And you have to have a lot of experience to be the auditor. I forget the requirements, but you almost have to be a partner and so many years experience, right, to be an auditor for another CPA firm. So, I mean, this is a very specialized 1% of the population can even try to do it if they wanted to, which is really hard because it's, most people don't want to do it, you know, because it's really hard to do. And you have to get to that level is nerve-wracking. And I know I probably couldn't do it. So, again, credit to Sarah and Bradley for taking it on. We saw opportunity, like Sarah said, and as a firm, and they have approached that. And not that we do a ton of it. We could do more if we wanted to. We're trying to keep ourselves at a comfortable level. But big world of attest services, and it's a very big deal. And the world of public accounting, and that's what we get hired for, is to provide independent thoughts and opinions and assurance. And without it, we would not be a public accounting firm. So big deal.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that part of the business with us today. We look forward to learning more. And if listeners have questions or would like to maybe avail themselves of the services, how do they best reach the firm?
Well, our phone number is 320-235-5937, but our website, ChristiansenCPA.com, I feel does a great job of giving kind of the plethora, the breadth of our firm, wouldn't you say, Sarah? And it's got pictures of all of us, cool people, and all that. So, that'd be a good way to get a hold of us.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming in, and have a great rest of the summer.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. You too. Thanks.